Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Happy Monday, Dub Nation. Happy start to the week. That's a better way of putting it. Thank you for joining the Golden Days. On today's show, I've got a guest, a cap expert. Him and Bobby Marks are far and above the rest of the competition in terms of who's out there calling themselves a cap expert. I'm referring to Bleacher Report's Eric Pincus. I'm super stoked he's coming on the program. We're talking Warriors. We're going to find out what their cap situation is, what their prognosis is for the upcoming season. Free agency is just around the corner. Let's get into it. This is... Oh, and my mouse isn't working today. That's a Monday for you. But let's make it the best day possible. Let's get into it. This is the Golden Day!
That is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live!
Yes, can.
Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! And things suck! Woo! Let's go!
In a minute, I'ma need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up.
Come on and break me off.
Break me off.
'Cause I get what I want and I like what I see.
If you got to shake that.
All right, welcome to the Golden Days, a daily program on the Believe Network covering the Golden State Warriors, the NBA. I'm Cyrus Sotz as your host. You can follow me on Threads and Instagram at Dog Wild, but more importantly, my guest today. To me, there are two individuals who I can safely, confidently call cap experts pertaining to the NBA. One of them works for the mighty Disney Corporation. His name is Bobby Marks. And the other one is who I consider to be the preeminent expert. I put you higher than Bobby. His name is Eric Pincus. He's been on my program before. Great to have him back. You can follow him on, I believe, all social media platforms at your name, Eric Pincus, NBA cap expert, and so much more for Bleacher Report, for other organizations. I'm going to let you promote everything. You're also a professor of sports business. Excited to get into it with you. First of all, we're starting the week on a Monday. Kenny Atkinson is gone from the Warriors. We'll get into that in a moment, but Eric, how the hell are you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well. I'm gearing up for what is the busiest time. Like I have kids and like the parents are like, you know, oh, so what do you do in the off season? You know, thinking I just like lounge around. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like I work harder in June, July than I do like in the middle of the season. This is like crunch time for me. This is like, if I'm an accountant, this is tax season. So I'm excited for the draft, free agency, and then we have our program, Sports Business Classroom. I am actually partnered with Bobby Marks to teach the salary cap there. So I don't know about the ranking there. I also kind of cringe at expert because I feel like if you are close to being an expert, you know how much you don't know and how hard it is to claim any sort of complete knowledge of the rules and odd situations, especially when the NBA and the NBPA can rewrite any rule they want if they agree to do so. So
incredible. That's incredible. It's an organic document, an organic constitution. Yes, when I say expert, I say relatively speaking, because you're absolutely right. I just don't know who else out there I trust more than you. I hear what you're saying, man. It is the cap to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're much more of an expert than I am. No pun intended. It is very complicated. And like you said, go ahead.
It's good for business. The new CBA didn't make things easier for, and I don't want to say like, I'm not like, watching like a House of the Dragon, like the little people. I'm not talking like that. I'm talking about like for everybody. It is complicated. It is hard. It is tricky. And like, we're still like myself, Bobby, others, we're still trying to like feel what the rules mean and then understand how the league is interpreting them. Like they said in the document that teams can now negotiate with their own players after the finals. So what did that would how would that look? Would they then say we intend to sign this player, or will there be dead silence? And what we're finding is it's going to like the Shams and the Wojs of the world. We're getting Scotty Barnes. He's going to re-sign with the Raptors, but we're not hearing that from his agent, and we're not hearing that from the team, but we are hearing it. So it's like just kind of seeing the rules and then sort of understanding like, okay, this is what it actually looks like instead of what our theoretical interpretation is based on what we've read and who we've talked to. Now we can actually see it in action. So good fun. Lots of complications to sort through.
Yeah, complication is the key word there. And again, we'll get into the Kenny Atkinson thing on tomorrow's show in terms of detail, in terms of what this means for the Warriors. But that did break this morning that Kenny Atkinson has been hired as the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You and I were joking before we started recording because I was talking about how he's leaving the Warriors, and you're saying the theme should be more about him joining a team. And it's all about perspective, right?
Sure.
Look, and as a podcast host, if I'm not bringing opinions, no one's watching, right? It's one of the formulas for making something entertaining. And so I've opined plenty when it comes to Kenny Atkinson. I have nothing personal against him, like anyone that I've ever criticized. But as someone who for the last 2 years has been the quote unquote defensive coordinator of the Golden State Warriors, he's left a lot to be desired from my perspective. So for him leaving, I think a fresh start in any regard for the Warriors coaching staff is a welcomed thing. Given, you know, at least again, for me, things have turned a little stale with the Golden State Warriors, and some change I think is welcomed. What is your perspective on it? And just your takeaway from Kenny Atkinson leaving the Golden State Warriors and signing with Cleveland.
Well, I mean, he's well respected as like a teacher, as someone who understands the game. He did really well in Brooklyn with like a young squad that needed education, that needed somebody to, you know, get them to a discipline and an understanding of the game. And I think I don't know where he is in terms of like coaching stars. And that was like, he didn't want to coach Kyrie and KD, all that. Like, he was like, it wasn't for him. Now he ends up on the Warriors, where you do have clear stars, but you also have stars who have a very positive reputation. Like, Steph is well-regarded, generally speaking. Klay, obviously, well-regarded. I know he's dealt with some injuries and whatnot, but as far as people, and Draymond is Draymond, right? Like, you know, he's who he is, the good and the bad. But he was also an assistant, so and in a great organization, great situation. So I like Atkinson. I don't know him well. Spoken a few words to him through the years. But I think he's a good hire. He's an interesting hire for Cleveland. I can't like put my stamp on it and say like I know how that it'll work in any sort of way. But they have to figure out the Donovan Mitchell situation. And if this leads to Donovan Mitchell extending and he's comfortable and this is what their goal is, then that will have been achieved, whatever the result is on the court. If keeping Donovan and not going through a Damian Lillard type situation, if Atkinson avoids that, then that's a good hire because you've problem solved that. For the Warriors, you know, they'll build out their staff. They'll get good quality. There's plenty of assistant coaches who probably deserve looks as head coaches. And I know they lost Mike Brown. You lose Kenny Atkinson. You want some experience, but there's some great coaches, and I'm sure they'll rebuild their bench pretty well.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for that because Steve Kerr's always worked best with someone who's got like head coaching credentials sitting by him. And I agree with Kenny Atkinson. It's just for some reason, it just him as the number two guy with the Warriors just never it didn't work out that well. And best of luck to him. I have nothing personal against him. I just as someone who is trying to be objective while simultaneously, admittedly, loving the Warriors, I'm excited for the fresh start there. And we're talking Warriors, and I know you're going to be taking off soon to cover J.J. Redick as the new head coach of the L.A. Lakers. That's a whole other fascinating story in and of itself. But here in Warriors land, we've got our own drama to cover. And I guess the first thing I want to cover when it comes specifically to the Warriors, besides coaching, is for the first time in a long time, I'm thinking close to 5 years, the Warriors are not in salary cap hell. My prediction is Chris Paul will not be given that team option, that $30 million. Please correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. This is all conjecture because none of us know, but I'm guessing Chris Paul will not be re-signed. And then suddenly you're seeing the Warriors in a position where they're still over the cap, but they're well below the luxury tax, which means that you could have two mid-level exceptions. So how, in terms of the health of the Warriors, is that a fair, accurate description of their current status? What are your thoughts on Chris Paul and just the Warriors' health when it comes to the salary cap?
Well, so I have like I have a puzzle. Like it looks like a Rubik's cube.
Okay,
but it's a dodecahedron, right?
Okay, yes, yes.
Okay.
Full size.
Yes. So people say to me, "Ooh, that's a neat Rubik's cube." And do I then say, "Well, actually, it's not a cube," right? Point being is like, do I correct you and say like, "Well, technically, it's not an option for Chris Paul." It's non-guaranteed salary that they have to guarantee. So there is a difference, and there's a stark difference. If they opt out Chris Paul, if he had an option, they would have his rights and could re-sign him with his rights to any number. But he's non-guaranteed. The only way out of non-guaranteed salary outside of trade is to cut him and then go through the waiver process. And once he clears, now they don't have his rights, so mm-hmm. re-signing him will require any exceptions, cap room, or whatever. So that's a quibble. So don't use the word team option. It's kind of like, do I just let it slide and just say, you know? So people say to me, "Yeah, nice Rubik's cube." I say, "Okay, thank you." Yeah, no, whatever. I don't correct some people because like, you look like a jerk. You're like, "Well, actually, it's a dodecahedron." So Chris Paul is a team decision. That if you want to generalize it, yeah, the team has a decision on Chris Paul. It doesn't make sense to pay him $30 million based on his production at this point in his career. And sure, they could use another guard, but like Pajemski was really good, one of the top mm-hmm. rookies last year. Put him in that role more. Find another guard at the minimum if you need to. And so I do think that Chris goes to LA, whether it's Lakers, Clippers. I know some other teams like Spurs and a few others have been linked to him, but I could see that being the fate. They just picked, or rather Gary Payton picked up his option, which was an option, a player option. So he is guaranteed now, locked in for 24-25. The other question is Kevon Looney is $8 million non-guaranteed. They can let him go. They can keep him. I don't know. We'll see. I think they keep him based on that price, based on what he does. Probably worth the money at $8 million. Like he's probably worth at least $5 million, so $8 million's fine. And it like otherwise, if you to replace him, it might be difficult. The one thing that I go off of the Warriors, and I forget who Laker, one of the owners, spoke to an outlet. I forget which outlet, and was saying like Plan A is getting under the tax. And I'm like, okay, well, do I take him at his word? And if so, that's a big stark difference because. If they're going to go under the tax, we're not talking aprons, we're talking tax. For range, the cap projects to come in at 141, the tax at 171. You know, mm-hmm. I'll leave out the, I'm rounding. The first apron, which is you know your first, you start to lose these tools, these abilities to add players, is about 179. The second apron is 189, and that, those are all projected. The higher you go, the fewer tools you have. If they're above that 189 number, all they have is the minimum. If they're above that 179 number around there, they have some tools, $5 million here, tiny bit of flexibility there, but really not much. But you don't have these harsher penalties. If they're below the tax, now you're like, well, are you paying Clay if you're the Warriors? How are you getting out of money? Obviously, Chris Paul is... The immediate casualty. But very quickly, like if you have Steph, Wiggins, Green, Payton, you keep Looney, you have Kuminga, you have Moody, Pajemski, Jackson Davis, maybe you keep Santos. The money's he's probably actually cheaper against the tax, keeping him. Number 52, you had three vet minimums to get to 14 players. That's $151-ish million with that particular group. So Chris Paul is gone. Clay's not necessarily gone, but not re-signed yet.
Yeah.
They have about in the range of $20 million-ish to work with. maybe 21, you know, like in that range. So could there be like, okay, keep this group together, just pay Clay 18, 19 million, stay under the tax, reset the repeater clock, which we won't get into, but basically put the team on a trajectory towards financial stability, or just let Clay go. And now you're $20 million under this tax threshold. You gain the $13 million, almost $13 million mid-level exception. You go shopping, get a player for $13 million, maybe get someone with the biannual, which is lower, gives you a little bit of money to spend on like a player that's above the minimum. So let's call it just under $5 million. They could make those kind of moves, or they could pay Clay, trade Wiggins, or you know, make a move that gets out of players, or just let Looney go if they want. Like, so there is some flexibility. Like you said, they can get out of this quote salary cap hell and reset. But you know, there's the Splash Brothers. Steph is only under contract for this year and next. Do you just ride it out and give it 2 years, right? Celebrate what you were, maybe win a title, maybe not, maybe be good, maybe not, but celebrate it. And then when Steph's contract is up, maybe reset and just start that inevitable rebuild. So these are the questions that they face today. Do you go for 2 years with Steph as is, pay taxes, keep Clay, don't worry about it? Do you marginalize the, you know, the expenditure and go with Steph? But if you lose Clay, it's part of life, and move on. So I think the good news is that we will have some answers in the next 5 to 10 to 15 days, and we'll know all these things within 2 weeks.
And yeah, and when it comes to the nomenclature and the semantics of it, I know I make mistakes routinely, but just to summarize, so Chris Paul, again, I don't know if again, team option you're saying is not the right word, non-guaranteed contract is the proper right. Is the proper verbiage here. And so my guess is the Warriors will not give him that final $30 million for the reasons you said. Again, the part of the Jordan Poole trade a year ago, which brought Chris Paul in the first place, was to get to this point and save some money, which they're about to do. And then, like you said, I've been telling viewers and listeners this, and this is where I value your expertise, your knowledge. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. In terms of the mid-level exceptions, let's say the Warriors decide, and we have no idea right now what's going on with Klay Thompson. You know, one minute there's a report. First of all, it's ridiculous to me how many outlets carried what Tim McMahon said on a podcast regarding Klay in 2 years, when it was not clear at all if Tim McMahon was referencing recently, or if it's the same 2 years we were talking about 6 months ago. Yet you had countless media outlets just running with this thing when it's ridiculous. There was nothing there in terms of substance confirming that there was a 2-year offer, because now you have other reports saying that there has been no offer, that the Warriors haven't even given Klay Thompson a contract proposal. I don't know if you've heard anything different. If you have, please divulge. But what I'm understanding here is that if Klay Thompson walks, and the Warriors, like you mentioned, go with what they currently have. This is before we're discussing new additions. Are they eligible, provided they stay under that luxury tax threshold of approximately $171 million, that they have two mid-level exceptions? One of those mid-level exceptions close to $13 million, the other one close to $4 to $5 million. Is that accurate? Can you confirm?
Close. And you're close. You wouldn't call the – there's – each team every year has access to a singular mid-level exception, okay? There's the room mid-level for teams that go under the cap. There's the full mid-level, which is for teams that we don't worry about tax at this point. We worry about the first apron. Any team under the first apron has the full mid-level. Any team above below the second apron, above the first but below the second, has the taxpayer mid-level. And then if you're above that second apron, you have no access to any mid-levels. You have
that's what the Warriors were last year, right?
Yes. Yeah. So you have it. You can't use it because you're over that line. If you use it, you have to be under the line. So the only way to use it is to dump salary. So it's a semantic. Functionally, you don't have it. Technically, you do, but you can't use it. 6½ dozen. Like, they mean the same thing. The the biannual is its own separate tool. You can only use it every other year. Last year, the Lakers used it on Torian Prince. They don't have it this year. Last year, the Warriors, being above that first apron and the second, but above the first, didn't have access to it. So if they're below, they do gain. So they have two spending tools, would be more correct. The full mid-level, potentially, and the biannual. So 12.86 is closer to, we'll round up to 13. The biannual is about 4.68, so we can round up to 4.7 or very loosely $5 million, in the range of $5 million, right? So if we go and look at what the Warriors have on their books, as I mentioned, all the names, and they keep Looney, let Clay go, keep Santos, which is whatever, not relevant necessarily. I don't see any other free agents of note. You can keep them. Darius Saric was a minimum. If they bring him back on a minimum, it's not really changing the equation. So
yeah, the one name you haven't mentioned, and we can get into this in a little bit, is Lester Quinones, just because a lot of Warriors fans, and myself included, I think this kid can play. Good.
Is he going to be more than the minimum?
He shouldn't be. Like, no, he should not be.
I'm fleshing them out to four. You have to get to 14. The Warriors last year started at 13, and they waited the full 2 weeks to sign Santos because it was like penny pinching to, respectfully.
And they do that. This is not the first time they've done that. Yeah.
No hate. I'm not hating on it. You're doing what you need to do. But ultimately, you have to get to 14. So what I'm describing doesn't have to be the first day of the season. It could be 2 weeks in. But you have to get to 14. And so I plug in three minimum players at about $2.1 million each. So, and I'm assuming that they pay their 52, they sign their number 52 at the minimum, and it's the lowest minimum. So they'll probably use the second round pick exception, but I'll plug them in at 1-1. So everybody but Clay, keeping everybody else, like Santos and Looney, like I said, 151. So let's replace one of those minimums with the mid-level, the full mid-level. Get NTMLE. And we're going to also use the biannual, okay, which is about, as I said, just under 5. So they've replaced players who are making $2 million. So they're at 14 players, one minimum player. Maybe that's Quinones or whatever. They're at 165, roughly, which is $6.5 million under the tax. They can still sign at that level, sign another vet minimum, for another $2 million, so they can go to 15 without worrying about all that, 2 weeks and all that, at about $167 million. So you're about 4.5-ish under the tax. So, yeah, the Warriors could go shopping for two goodish players. $13 million is a very comparable offer to
what
market pairs. They could split that up, 6.5 and 6.5, to two different players, which gets you two good players. And a third at the $5 million. So maybe you can get three rotational players.
That's
but a $13 million player is closer to getting you a borderline starter.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking too. You can argue, but the challenge you run into is that it's not a great free agent market.
Right.
There's not a ton of talent. The good news for the Warriors is that not a lot of teams have money. So if we have six-ish teams that have money, and I can pull that up, there's not a lot of competition for that over $13 million. In other words, not many teams can offer more than 13, although their own teams can, right? Like the teams that can they can always re-sign their own players, right? Because they have their rights. So you're competing with that, but you're not necessarily competing with the market. So I'll just throw out that like Detroit has all the money in the world to spend, like more than anybody. We'll see who they keep, but it could be like 70-ish million, 68. Sixers could get to about 62, maybe a little more depending on if they trade their pick, but let's call it 60-ish. The Magic have about 55, a little bit less. The Jazz have about 36, but most of that will go to, in my projection, will go to Markkanen to give him a renegotiated deal, which is rare, but we've seen it in recent years. Mm-hmm. The Thunder have in the 30-ish range. The Hornets have in the 30, a little bit more, 33 Raptors have maybe 30, but maybe don't go under the cap at all and just keep Bruce Brown via his option, his team option, an actual option, and then trade him. So they may choose to stay over. And then the Spurs have just under 20. So that's the competition. If you're talking about the Warriors chasing a player making more than 13,
right?
This is where they would get more than 13 unless they stay, right? So like Siakam is staying. You couldn't get him for 13. DeRozan, he's probably staying with Chicago, or if he's leaving, he's probably not going somewhere for 13. If the offer is 13 for DeRozan, he's probably staying in Chicago,
right,
for some number. We have no idea where Miles Bridges lands. Clay is obviously, you know, a name, could go to Orlando.
The Miles Bridges piece, by the way, sorry to interrupt, but what are your thoughts there? Right? We've talked about all the Eastern Conference free agents last week, and I'm going to get to the West this week. And the Miles Bridges name is intriguing for both positive and negative reasons. I don't see him being a fit in the Bay Area, but what kind of money do you think he's going to command given all the baggage that comes right with him? I apologize to interrupt there, but the Miles Bridges thing just is fascinating to me.
So he's the toughest. Like a couple years ago, DeMar was the toughest when he was with the Spurs. Like, I do my best to research, and I talk to as many people as I can and get their opinions, and I do the math. And I was like, okay, I have this player probably going here. This player goes to one of these two teams, and they end up going to one of those two teams. Like, I'm pretty good at, you know, setting the table. It's hard to say what the final decision is. But with DeMar, I was like, hell, I don't know. Ends up being a sign and trade to the Bulls. So that's kind of the variable that's always hard to predict is, like, the Hornets have new ownership, they have new leadership, and they have the rights to Bridges, so maybe he's a sign-and-trade, and it's really hard to predict those. A team with that does a sign-and-trade has a first apron limit, so if you're paying him, let's say, maybe he wants 25, 30, if you're the Warriors, is he a fit, and then does that work to keep them under the tax and all that? So maybe not. I don't know. I know that, like, in terms of production offensively, he's a 22, 23 points a game last year. He is a very talented scorer, but he was on a crap team. And there's some very clear off the court baggage, right? I'm not going to tell teams whether or not they should sign or shouldn't sign a player who has, you know, a conviction for domestic assault or whatever the exact term is. I don't know. I'd have to read the legal language, so I don't want to, if that's not his exact conviction, then apologies, but in the range of that,
no one's holding you to that, don't worry. Yeah, it's all good.
So it's an issue for me personally. I have three daughters. I would feel uncomfortable with it, but I understand that also the man shouldn't be restricted from earning a living and you know, finding employment to support that family that he has with, you know. So it is certainly complex, and I'm not the person who has all the answers. I don't pretend to, but I can see why some teams are just going to be like, absolutely not. And some teams are like, hey, maybe we can get a very good player for the right price because he's in a bad situation.
Exactly.
But you do have to worry that, like, you know, do these off-court issues resurface?
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what kind of money he gets for everything you just said. Yeah, it's intriguing.
Yeah. It wouldn't be my team, but at the same time, I don't want to say that somebody like him, who has put in a ton of work and has done a lot right in his life, shouldn't have opportunity. It touches on cancel culture and, like, where's that line of redemption? And I definitely don't have the answer. And not going to pretend I do. So I don't want to be holier than anybody in this. But when it comes to the Warriors, like, there are options. Like, hey, the Nets want to pay Nicholas Claxton, but then $13 million is probably not enough, because if that's the offer, then he's going to stay with the Nets. If he wants 25, and if they want to do 18, he's not taking 13. But you can get into those, like, well, maybe there's a sign and trade. But it runs into issues like, you know, hard caps, and are the Warriors really setting a line at the tax? And if you're doing a sign and trade, you do have a line at that first apron. So there's a lot. Like, the point is, like, yeah, $13 million. Like, you can go after Tyus Jones. Is $13 million enough? You might get that. You might get more than that from the Spurs, for instance.
Right.
Like, what position? if you need a guard, is Pajemski enough? Are you going after like who? Like Maxey's staying, Quickly staying, Harden is not the right answer for the Warriors.
No, like Malik Beasley's a name I've heard associated with him. Someone like that. It's not exciting. Yeah. It's not sexy, but
Malik is a very solid shooter. Doesn't defend much. He can score a bit. He was not great when I covered him with the Lakers. He didn't fit in well there.
Right.
But sometimes it's situation. I thought he was much better in Milwaukee. Right.
Yeah. I'm not advocating from Lake. It's just one name I've heard again, you know, through all like, the speculation, right. It's all crap. In all honesty.
I don't know if the Hawks can pay Sadiq Bey based on their financial situation. I can look at, for instance, the Grizzlies and say like their team and their budget doesn't make sense for who they are. Even if they do return to second round status as a playoff team, their budget based on their market doesn't match who they are and where they're at. So I think their problem ends up being Luke Kennard.
And right.
Luke Kennard has a $15 million option, a little bit less. He does have a $2 million unlikely incentive. So against the aprons, he counts closer to almost 17. So you have to take that into account. But if you're under the tax, if you're the Warriors, it doesn't matter about the aprons. I think it's absolutely reasonable. Now, one of the changes, and this doesn't help with Kennard, one of the changes is you can use that mid-level exception as a trade exception. So you can use it to acquire a player making up to 12.9.
And that's the kind of nuance only folks like you. That's why I call you an expert, man. That is nuance right there. So you can trade the mid-level exception or treat it like a trade exception. Let me ask you this. How many times can you split up the mid-level? Is it as much as you want? Is there a level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do math. Like, technically, if you took a rookie minimum, which is 1.2, and you add $1 to it, right? Or actually, yeah, like let's just add, or you can make it 3 years. So let's say you do 3 years at the minimum number. So multiply that times 10-ish or 11. Yeah, you could probably split it up into 10 if you really.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We wanted.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay. So there's no formal limit. It's all about the math. So here's another weird nuanced role. I don't know if you can answer this for me or not. And we're joined by Eric Pincus. Again, follow him on all social media platforms at Eric Pincus. The handle's right there on the screen. If you're watching this on YouTube for the podcast listeners, again, as elite as it gets when it comes to knowledge of this complex idea, constitution document known as the NBA salary cap. Let's say the Warriors tell Klay Thompson, we want you back, and we're going to give you $30 million a year. We'll even give you a three-year deal, but sit tight. Let us use our mid-level exception first, and then we'll give you that deal under bird rights. Granted, if the Warriors follow that idea, if it's legal, they put themselves back in that second apron hell. But is that even an option for the Warriors?
No. So, like, the way the rules work are sort of two ways, right? Like, if you are under the apron and you use the tool, you have agreed not to go over the apron at that point. And no matter what, you can't go over the apron. There's no rights. There's no anything. No matter, you can't even sign a minimum guy.
Gotcha.
So let's say, yeah. Now, if you're over, you can't use the tool, because the only way you could use the tool is to be under. So if you're under, you can use the tool, can't go over. If you're over, can't use the tool unless you go under.
Interesting.
And those rules are such that, like, we're in that awkward transition period where 23-24 is over and 24-25 hasn't started. So we're going, any trades are based on 23-24 numbers. So, for instance, Caruso went from Chicago to Thunder. Josh Giddey went to Chicago. Those were based on 23-24 numbers, even though they're, you know, the season's over.
Right.
There are some issues if a player has declining salary. What doesn't apply here? If it's declining salary, you would actually go by the numbers based on the future year for the outgoing. It's complicated for the outgoing team, but the incoming team, like, you get into these really awkward rules. But the one thing to point out is that, like, if you take it when you trade, and if you take in $1 more than you send out, using an extended traded player exception, so doesn't apply to cap room and a few other situations, you have a first apron hard cap. So, and even if you do it in this transition period, like the Thunder did, you are hard capped for the coming season. So, for instance, they got Caruso. Caruso makes more than Giddey, right? So they had to use an extended traded player exception to get Giddey. So basically, they had the ability to take in this case, I'd have to look. It was probably $7.8 million in that range. Double check that. About $7.7 million. Because it's based on this year. So they could take in $7.5 million more than what Giddey earned, but by doing so, they locked in a hard cap. Even though we're in the transition period, they locked in a hard cap for 24-25. So to answer your, bring it back to your question, if you're the Warriors, you can't use the mid-level and then use Clay's rights to go over the apron. You can use the mid-level and use Clay's rights, but you're staying under that first apron. You have a hard cap at 178.7. No matter what. Yeah.
Gotcha. So the moment you cross that first apron threshold, all those perks are out the window.
Well, if you cross the apron threshold, now you can't use the tools or do the things.
Right.
Or if you do the things, use the tools, now you can't cross. So by using the mid-level, the full one, you can't cross the first apron, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay. But let me ask you this. What if they use the first one and they stay below the first apron? Do they still have Clay's bird rights at that point?
Well, the rights don't change. That is, what is it, paramount for the MBPA, who represents the players in the negotiation. That rights aren't impacted. It's all these, quote, penalties that hurt the Warriors. Nothing has hurt their rights to re-sign their guys. If they want to pay their guys for the next 100 years, whatever, the rights aren't impacted, but you can't use them. So yeah, let's say that you don't use the biannual and use the full mid-level. They're at 164 at that point. So let's say they then sign Clay, and we're only going to 14 players, and they sign Clay at let's call it 16. I'll just eyeball it. That puts them within 1.5, so they can go up to 17.5.
I see. So the Warriors then, in theory, could use the mid-level exception and the biannual, and then still go ahead and sign Clay. But then they'd be back in the second apron, and so in theory they could, but they'd have to face the ramifications of all.
So you're crossing lines here. So they can use the mid-level at 13-ish, pay Clay via his rights about 17.5, get to 14 players, keep Looney, and they're at 178, by my estimation. I have them at 178.6, 3-1 or 3-2, right? The apron is 178.655, so they're 23,000 under that apron. They can't cross that line no matter what. So you're getting one good player and you're keeping Clay. It may not be at a number that he likes, but it's 17 and a half. At this point, you can't spend, you could spend 23,000 more. That's not enough to get anybody. So maybe at some point you can do, you know, sign someone the last, you know, late in the season on a, it's probably not enough for a full 10 day, but like in the last couple of days, you could sign someone for like one day that is on a 2-year deal. So like, you know, like there is some very minor flexibility, but you're not really in a position to sign anyone else. And any trades have to be reductive. They can't add salary. You're butted up against that cap. There's no biannual because you have it, you can't use it. Now, if you, you know, and you don't have to worry about second apron because you're not getting past the first apron, right? Now, if you don't use the mid-level and you pay Clay 17 and a half, you don't have a hard cap, but how do you add players? Because at that point, you could use the taxpayer mid-level. It's like $5 million. You could use the biannual. Like at this point, you could use these exceptions, but like, what's the issue? Because how are you going to add salary anyway? I guess you can keep Chris Paul. So like in theory, if you don't care about aprons, they could just pay Clay and keep Chris Paul.
That's what I was saying. If you don't care about the financial ramifications of the aprons, you could in theory keep everyone.
But then you don't have the mid-level.
But what if you use the mid-level first is what I'm trying to say.
No, like I'm saying once you use it, you can't go over the apron.
So the aprons trump the bird rights. Is that what you're saying? So Clay's bird rights.
The bird rights exist. You just can't use them.
Okay, that's what. Okay, got it. Okay. Thank you. That's what I was trying to figure out here. Okay.
No, you're under the apron. You've triggered the apron. You can't go over the apron. If you don't have an apron hard cap, right? You have to trigger it. It has to be a decision made by the team, a conscious choice. We are going to accept a hard spending limit at this line. There are two lines, first apron, second apron. The teams make the choice. They choose not to do it. They could spend all they want. Like you could look at teams that could get up to $200-300 million in salary if they paid everybody they have rights to, right? Like the Magic could pay, what don't they have the full rights? Or like I could see, like they could pay Fultz the max, right? Like let's say they don't want to trigger any hard caps. They have the rights to Chuma Okeke. I'm pronouncing that. I'm butchering that. Gary Harris, Fultz, they could pay them all $30-something million or whatever, the max. They could pay Goga Bitadze the early bird max, which is call it 13-ish or so.
And that's a player, by the way, I think would be great on the Warriors. I digress, but go ahead, sir.
Yes. So you start going down the path of like, as long as you don't trigger with using the biannual, the non-taxpayer, the taxpayer, or making a trade that, you know, this is where they've expanded the rules. You take in a dollar more than you sent out, first apron. You've done a sign and trade where you acquired a player, first apron hard cap. If you sent out via sign and trade, second apron hard cap. That's a little complex, but it, generally speaking, there's all these little things that you can do that trigger these things. That's the key is, they, like I said, Warriors can keep Chris. So one option for the Warriors is to pay Clay to guarantee Chris's $30 million and trade him. So you trade him, you bring back someone making $30 million or less. It can't be $30 million and $1. You can combine them. Let's say it was Chris Paul and Gary Payton. If you combine them, that's aggregation. That gives you a second apron hard cap. So there's a limit there. So we'll just assume they're not going to aggregate. So up to $30 million back for Chris Paul, right? You bring back some player making 30. You pay Clay 25, 27, whatever, 30, whatever it is. Now you're paying a ton of money. You're over these aprons. You don't have a hard spending limit, but you have no tools to spend. All you have at that point is the minimum. You can't use the biannual. You can't use the mid-level of either kind. Full mid-level, you can't go over that first apron. Second apron, can't use the anything. You can't use the taxpayer mid-level at that point. The rights still exist. You can use them. But once you use those tools, you have a hard spending limit. And like the Clippers in the very early days of the last CBA, 2017, like one of the first things they did was trigger hard cap. And then they realized, oh, wow, like we have to get out of Jared Dudley. And they traded a first to get out of Jared Dudley because they couldn't even field a training camp roster.
Jeez.
The hard cap. That was just poor planning. Right. But again, like it's new rules. And like the Clippers, at some point, their front office changed over and became very sharp at what they were doing. At that time, they were not. And they just sort of went into it headlong without really understanding the ramifications. The Warriors, you know, right or wrong, like they know what they're doing. We can disagree on the decisions, but like they're not blindly going into these rules. They're very diligent because of the money on what they're going to do. They just have to make difficult decisions. Do you pay all this money? Do you reset? Is it worth it? Are you better off giving Chris's minutes to Pajemski and getting a mid-level guy and a biannual guy versus trading for someone making almost 30 when, like, you know, someone who's available for almost nothing, right? Like, you're just, they're dumping them to you. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, right? Sometimes there's a reason why the team's getting out of that player, right? Like, why are they available? It's usually for a reason. And maybe it's because the team's rebuilding and they don't need a good veteran. I'm not saying you can't get a good player. You can get good players who are being salary dumped. That's like the famous Pau Gasol to the Lakers thing. It was like the Grizzlies needed to reset, didn't want to keep and pay Pau, got Mark Gasol, who turned out to be one of their best players in franchise history. Warriors could be on the receiving end of that and for some reason get a Pau Gasol type player. And if you can, and that bolsters your chances, of course you do it. And you say, okay, well, so what? We'll pay these taxes another couple of years. In the absence of that, maybe you look at the financial reality and say, we're better off with young guys. We're better off making room for Kuminga in the rotation, Moody in the rotation, Pajemski in the rotation, add another role player that makes them better, that makes Steph better, that makes Draymond better, that fits better. You know, like Goga Batazde isn't, you know, he's not Klay Thompson in terms of name.
There's nothing sexy about him, but I love him.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, his significant other, if he has one, I'm sure finds him sexy. But when it comes to names in the NBA, he is not a big name, but he is a very solid rotational big who can help you. So, yes, is he a starter? Borderline, maybe can start. Like, could you in the Warriors model of starting a quote token big so that in rotation you can get Draymond to the five when it suits the Warriors better instead of having to rely on Draymond as the five and like this is who they are and they don't have that flexibility? Remember when they won, they always had a real big, right? Like, that was always, like you go back to Bogut and whatnot, right? Like, Zaza's and stuff, like you need size, and that in, you know, I cover Lakers, I'm gonna go head over there shortly. They didn't have that option, right? They just had AD, just like the Warriors really just had Draymond. And I do think in this NBA, as much as people say, oh, you don't need size, you don't need bigs,
oh, that was 2 years ago, Eric. That was 2 years ago.
I feel like even 2 years ago, I'm arguing the same thing, like, you need the flexibility. You need to be big and you need to be small. And if you have, like, if your scorers can play in either one, and if you can figure out how to defend in either one, and you have the flexibility to go big when you need to and go small when you need to, now you can adapt. Because you get to a playoff series, you might get the Nuggets, you might get the Timberwolves, or you might get a team that, you know, doesn't have any size at all, and you need, and you're exposed with your drop bigs, similar to like Dallas. Dallas has some bigs, but their bigs are like more, you know, mobile bigs. They have more mobile bigs than what Minnesota has. But even so, like Gobert to an extent was exposed, or at least their model of how they were playing was exposed by Dallas to an extent. So I like that flexibility, you know, and even the Grizzlies have it. Not the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves with Naz Reid and like Kat, and like there are options that they can go smaller, but they do lose what they're paying 30, what they're paying 50-ish million now for Gobert. So like, you know, where are those resources? They're paying 43.8 this year coming for Gobert. So like, where your resources go, you don't want to have a guy you can't play at the end of playoff games. Whereas if you're doing Goga for 8 million or something like that. Or I don't know, but you know, the Magic like him and have his rights and early bird rights, but it's enough to trump a mid-level offer. So, but that's the equation as I see it for the Warriors. And I think the hinge on it is that tax line.
And I know you got to run here in a second because, again, you're going to cover that J.J. Redick press conference in, I believe, it is it at Staples Center? Is that where they hold these things?
No, at the Lakers training facility.
Gotcha. What is stopping teams? I'm curious to know. This is a random question. But what's stopping teams from offering contracts where the first year is minuscule and years two and three and beyond are astronomical? Are there rules in place that prevent teams from doing that?
Well, anything you don't see is probably because the rules don't permit it, right? It's not like a lack of creativity. The most you can go up with your own player with the rights, early bird or full, is 8% up or 8% down.
Gotcha. Okay, that's what I was curious about. So there is a rule. 8%
is based on the first year. It's not a compounding thing. So let's say someone makes $10 million, right? You take 8% of that. You can go up $800,000. You can go down $800,000.
Gotcha. That's what I was curious about.
And when it's someone else's player, so like let's say it was Goga, it's now 5%. So you can go up from 10, you can go to 10.5, or you can go down to 9.5, but you can't go more than that. Now, there is an exception. Every rule that I give, there's always like, oh, yeah, but in this case, there's like an early bird Arenas offer, which has a jump in the third year. And then there is the renegotiation where you can drop 40% in the second. So what you have with Miles Turner in Indiana is they renewed him and then they were able to go down. So they gave him a big bonus in the, not this year, but last year, and then dropped him down. So there are some cases where you can do funky things, but in the general practical cases, which 99% of the cases are higher, 99.5, like it's like Miles Turner, I guess they could have done it with Sabonis, but they didn't. There's one other Reno case recently, I'm forgetting. And then there's Arenas rule offers, which are rare.
And this, your answer to this is all I need to know about the complexity of the NBA salary cap. It's there's a reason why teams are spending big dollars just to have people in place to help them with all this nuance. Eric, I want to let you, and first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I can't thank you enough. Time is the most invaluable commodity, and every guest on this program is giving me that. So my appreciation is there, and then some. Let's finish the show with this. Two-part question. Part one, in your humble opinion, what do you think is going to happen with Klay Thompson? Because no one knows for sure, so I'm curious to know what your opinion is on that. And two, promote everything you have going on, sir.
Like the Magic are the one team that stand out as like needing shooting, getting a name like Klay, I think means a lot to a team that's overshadowed by Miami. Like it's kind of Clippers Lakers where everybody loves the Lakers and the Clippers are sort of a, you know, Nets Knicks. You go to Florida, everyone loves the Heat, and in Central Florida, you have some Magic fans, but getting Klay and that name, I think, matters. And the deal was a lot, but short. 2 years, a lot of money, maybe the third year, but team control on the third year. So I do think Orlando makes sense in my very loose, like, these are my guesses, which are already off, which, of course, they're going to be off, like Monk.
I had guesses. Monk. No one's holding you to this, I promise.
Well, I mean, you know, Twitter holds it. They're like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, whatever. I try not to read all that stuff. I mean, please hit me on Twitter. And if you're asking me a legit question, I do my best to answer whatever Twitter's called now. It's like you said, Staples Center. It's not Staples Center anymore. It's crypto. Oh, yeah, right? Crypto. I'm still going to call it Staples, and we're still going to call it Twitter. Sorry. And we're no, don't apologize. I in our house, we still call it Staples. Like I just had to pick up my kids just saw like Megan Thee Stallion at Staples Center, literally the other day. So I had to pick them up at Staples Center in the middle of the night, and traffic was crazy. I did not expect that. It took me like 45 minutes to get around a couple blocks, which is not like totally abnormal. But I do think that there's one reality where the Warriors say we just need to close out the Steph era the next couple of years with Klay, and they just pay it. That's one reality. It's real. It could happen. It makes sense. The other reality is they say, we're not going to be that. We're going to shepherd him out, similar to how the Lakers probably shepherd out LeBron the next 2-3 years, whether they're a contender or not, just like they did with Kobe post-Achilles, where like these are franchise Hall of Fame, absolute legendary GOAT status, maybe the best player of all time. We could debate where they are on the list. And you respect them, and maybe it's not best for the team in the short term what you do, but you do honor them the way that is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying letting go of Clay is the wrong thing. So maybe they do quote the right thing. You know, I'm air quoting that, and keep Clay and let Steph go out with this sentimental value. I can argue that in a way that they're better without Clay at this point in time, and that they give Steph a better chance with younger players. 'Cause that's the problem. It's harder to move as you get older. I mean, I can attest to that.
Oh,
you know,
same.
I'm not, you know, old, and I'm not young. But the body definitely doesn't move like it did before in my basketball playing days.
I'm with you there.
I loved playing. I was terrible. No, I wasn't terrible. I was a good role player. I was basically closer to a loony at 5'7". Right? So take all that loony does, but then shrink him down to the size of, you know, of what I have to offer.
That's impressive. If what you say is true, that
effort. Extra possessions, setting screens. Mark Madsen is my other comp. You know, remember Mark Madsen?
I played. He was actually in the same league as mine in high school. That's why I never played varsity ball, because my high school was routinely competing for state titles, and you had people like Mark Madsen that we were playing against. Yeah, right. I'm very familiar with Danville's Mark Madsen.
So absolutely. Like. Energy play, like if Steph would have loved to have played with me, because all I would focus on would be helping him score as opposed to trying to score myself. The height is the problem, you know. So
absolutely.
The point is that players do get older, and they are names at this point. So like, is Clay the best choice for the Magic in terms of player quality in the moment on a short deal based on his actual skill as a shooter? He had a bad year, and he still shot basically the league average from three.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a down year for him is average for everybody else. Right. So you put him in a position where he literally just needs to come. He probably starts because of his name, and then they move him. He probably starts at two, and then they move him to three in rotation, and let him just be the recipient of all the attention on Paolo and Franz Wagner and their, you know, Cole Anthony and their other players. I'm leaving out guys, but you know, like let him catch, shoot, and it makes sense. Get him the money. Now he's a West Coast guy, but you know, he does have Bahamian roots, doesn't he? Right. So
correct. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Orlando's certainly closer to the Caribbean. So maybe there's an argument there. The climate is relatively similar to LA. It's a little bit colder in Golden State. So it maybe even be an upgrade in some ways, although they have tornadoes and weird crap and alligators or whatever they have. Indeed. I mean, I'm not going to urge you to move to Florida, as I'm a California guy, most of the, you know, at least the local Warriors fan base. I know they are a global fan base. But yeah, I like I said, to wrap it up on Clay, I see those as the main two. There's like also an alternative path where like the Sixers don't get who they really want and settle on a deal with Clay where he's the shooter and maybe they pay him 20 something and get another someone for 20 something. And so instead of getting a Paul George or maybe trade for Jimmy Butler, where they get two guys and one of those guys is Clay. So like there are other pathways. I just wrote an article for Bleacher. I tweeted it, but I haven't really sent it out on social media much. I'm going to do that when I get a minute, but it's kind of like, what are the questions that we need answers for right now? Because we've spent, you know, the season ended in April. We know who won the title. We know who won the draft lottery. We know the prospects. We know who's some of the options, but we don't know like what's going to happen with Clay. We don't know what's going to happen with like Jimmy. Do the Heat want an unhappy Jimmy if they don't extend him? Because Jimmy's great. An unhappy Jimmy is very difficult.
Uh-huh.
And I mean with that, you know, with full respect, we don't know who's going to coach the Cavs. Now we do. When I wrote the article last night, we didn't. We don't know who's going to coach. What's the other opening? Detroit still, or did they hire somebody? right? Is it, yeah, they just let go of Monty Williams, right?
There is at least one opening right now, but yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I think it's Detroit. So like, there, you know, there's just, you know, like what's going to happen with LeBron, the Lakers? What's going to happen with the Sixers? What's going to happen with Paul George? Like, there's a long list of like, what's going to happen with the Cavs? Like, does Donovan Mitchell demand out? And if no, does Darius Garland demand out? And if no, but that's a big thing. Like, what's going to happen with guys like Malcolm Brogdon, who's, you know, or Jeremy Grant or Luke Kennard, I mentioned. There's so many questions we don't have answers to.
Yes.
So I just sort of summarized it there on Bleacher Report. You can go to at Eric Pincus on X, whatever, at Twitter. And it should be the most recent tweet I put. I probably won't pin it. I have a mock draft 5.0 pinned to my profile. It's put together primarily from my scouts who work for me for Sports Business Classroom,
nice.
Former students and great candidates. If you're looking to hire scouts, looking for gainful employment, they're really, really good. And last year we did really well in our mock. This year I expect it to be harder because I think this draft is just harder to mock. I think last year was more predictable through the first 15, 16, 17. I think we may hit the right players this year, but it's going to be harder to say who's going where. This is a tough one. That said, I do recommend you take a look at it. It's very interesting. I do, and I don't even watch college, so like I just don't have enough time. So I'm relying on them. And we're going to do we're going to have a call today at 5, our scouts, and we're going to try to do one final mock before the final buzzer. And then in terms of Sports Business Classroom, it is a program where we teach in Las Vegas at Summer League, actually in Thomas and Mack where the games are. It is our program is owned and created by Warren Legarry and Albert Hall, who created Las Vegas Summer League. So we're not some like off the strip program. We're like,
no, you're legit.
And
I'll back that up. Your program is incredibly legit. And the fact that your program is an incubator for prospective scouts, that's a whole other selling point. I never even heard of that until you just mentioned it. So kudos for that. Continue on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, we have a scouting video analytics program. We have a salary cap program. You're learning from Barbie Marks and me. And then we have media broadcast, which like our professors, our instructors are like, you know, Jay Adande, who's going to be put in the Hall of Fame this year. Howard Beck, who in my mind is Hall of Fame worthy. Katie Heindel, who's just brilliant writer from a very different point of view, more columnistic, more first person. And then we have CP the Franchise. If you're familiar with him, he created Knicks Fan TV. That's about building your own brand and like, you know, doing like what you're doing. We're like, okay, I want to talk hoops. How do I get out there? How do I get started? And you know, try to open people's eyes. We're like, yeah, I want to be GM of the Warriors. Well, you know, that spot's taken. And you know, there's only 30 GM chairs, and those are hard to get. And usually, you know, Dunleavy has a name, right?
I actually want to be an NBA head coach now because I see how much money they make from working just 1 year and then sitting back for the next 4 or 5 years. I think that's my new dream, is to be an NBA head coach so I can get fired after 1 year and just play PlayStation 5 while making millions upon millions of dollars. That's my new dream, Eric. I've started
nothing like getting paid not to work. You know, I've never been in that position. But I also like to work, so I'm something wrong with me where I'd still find a way.
No, you're good.
But that said, you know, the program is it is full for this immersive, but you can register and we have a wait list, and so there's always the chance that someone drops out. We might expand a couple of slots. We've already expanded a few slots, so it's a little tight. But at a minimum, you get on the early interest list. And we are talking about expanding the program to do other events throughout the year. I can't promise anything. Nothing's, you know, announced. We do virtual ones as well. Again, nothing announced, but theoretically maybe one around All-Star or, you know, whatever. So sign up, reach out, ask about it. We do help people get jobs. You know, Buddy Scott is with the Celtics, now has a ring. It's pretty cool.
Wow,
he met Mike Zarin, who is the number two in the front office there at our program. They needed an intern. They brought in Buddy. Buddy killed it as an intern. They needed to hire someone, and they did a canvassing. had an open call to people in the industry and then ended up giving that promotion to Buddy instead of someone external, which makes us happy as a program, because it's our goal to expand and to really help, you know, expand our outreach, get our students to their goals. And like I said, it is full, but reach out if you're interested in the program, and happy to have that conversation. As I said, I'm easy to reach on Twitter/X and other socials as well. That's probably the best one to find me directly, although not after news breaks, because when news breaks, I can barely see it. But my DMs are open. If you're like a new DM and we're not following each other, then it might go to my, like, you know, request list, which sometimes takes me a minute to catch. But I'm happy to have that conversation. It might just take a day or two.
I respect the transparency. I respect the access. One of the things that makes me cringe are media members with a diva personality, and you're the complete opposite of that. So I respect it. Eric Pincus, follow him on all social media platforms, starting with Twitter at Eric Pincus. I know you got to go, man. You've given me a lot of time today. Thank you. And congrats on the fact that enrollment is capping for your class. That means you are, it's a successful program when you're filling up like that. So bravo. That's huge.
Appreciate it.
Of course, man. And check out the content, check out everything. Eric, brother, thank you so much. At the absolute latest, I know it's been close to a year since we last had you on the show. At the absolute latest, let's have you on sooner next time so we can promote the school. Unless you don't want to. It doesn't sound like you need it. But if you want to promote it next time, let me know. We'll get you back on. Yep. We'd love to get you on regardless. But
no, man, I don't. So promotion aside, I don't mind coming on to chat. And it hones my... hones my skills to make sure I can talk any team at any point. So I always have to stay sharp. So I don't mind just, you know, doing a show like this. Definitely make sure that I stay on my P's and Q's. So I appreciate you, and thanks for having me on, and let's do it again.
Love it, man. Thank you, Eric. And many thanks again to Eric Pincus for coming on the program. Again, the news dropped literally like an hour before we started recording of Kenny Atkinson being hired as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Clearly, this has massive implications for the Golden State Warriors in terms of who they're going to hire next as the number one assistant. Maybe they promote from within. We have no idea, but we're going to talk about that and so much more on tomorrow's show. And Eric is just the start of guests galore that's going to be part of this program. So that's coming soon. Hope you have a rest, a solid, fantastic rest of the day. And we'll be back at this soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Go Warriors. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.